The Bible. This morning we're going to talk about what does the Bible really say about knowing God's will. Text is from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." This morning I'm going to talk about knowing about God's will regarding your destiny, regarding your tranquility, and regarding your ministry. So right now I want to talk about God's will regarding your destiny. We go back to what we talked about last week. You know already that the clear teaching of Scripture is that not every person will be saved. Jesus said this. He said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So let's get right to it. What about you? What is God's will concerning your final destination? You know, when I stand before you and I preach, I speak to you as one would speak to those who are being saved. And the reason I do that is because I believe that you are sitting in this place on a Sunday morning because the Spirit of God has drawn you here. And I believe He's done it so that you can hear the Word of God. That's important because people are saved by grace through faith. And in Romans, we learn that faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the Word of God. So, how do you know that God has called you to salvation? How do you know? I want to give you a few questions to ask yourself. Do you have any desire to know God? Do you have any interest in His Word? Do you have any affinity with His people? Do you feel like you belong with the people of God? Do you recognize His guiding hand in your life? Do you sense His gifts in your life? Do you have some understanding of His grace, of His love for you and the things that He's done for you? Do you feel God's presence when you pray? Do you sense that the gospel has something to do with you? Now, I want you to remember those questions and your answers to them. Because here's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, "The message of the cross," that's the gospel, "the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." In 2 Corinthians, it says this, "If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing." If you answered yes to the questions I asked, then you need to understand this. Your desire to know God, your interest in His Word, your sense of belonging with God's people, your sense of His presence in your life and in your prayers, these things are evidence. I think they're compelling evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. It indicates to me that you have ears to hear. These are not the characteristics of those who are perishing. To them, the works of Christ are foolishness, and they have no appetite for the good news. They don't desire to know God. They don't have any thirst to hear what He says. They're determined to go their own way and could care less about what God has to say about it. They're not seeking God's guidance. In fact, their natural instinct is to hide from God, is to run from God. You see, those who are perishing would answer these questions in the negative. Do you have any desire to know God? No. Do you have any interest in learning His Word? No. So, if those things are true in your life, if you want to know God, if you want to know His Word, if you feel His presence, if you feel a compelling call to be with the people of God, if you understand His grace, if you sense that the gospel is for you, that's the Holy Spirit that's given you those desires, that's given you those abilities. Here's what we know about the hard attitude of those who are perishing. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the man without the Spirit, that is the natural man, the man that's just operating on his own, apart from God, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. You see, you can know that God is working in your life. You can know that God is calling you to Himself because He gives you a desire to know Him. He gives you a desire to be with Him and to be with His people. He gives you a hunger to know His Word. So tell me, am I right? Are you among those who are being saved? If so, then you have ears to hear, right? God gives you ears to hear. So here's what Jesus said about you. Mark 4:9. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And he also said, blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it to practice. Blessed are all those who hear the word of God and put it to practice. So I can tell you this. God's will for you, first of all, regarding your destiny, is that you be saved and that you be safe. You know, God wants His people to be saved, first of all. That's why Jesus came for us. That's why He lived a perfect life in our place. That's why He went to the cross. That's why He was raised from the dead, so that we might be saved. But God is with us and in us. He's given us His Word and His Spirit so that we can also be safe because He's keeping us until the end. So God wants you to be saved and God wants you to be safe. It's also God's will that you be blessed. And blessing comes by hearing the Word of God and then putting it to practice in your life. What is God's will for you regarding your tranquility? By that I mean your ability to be at peace in your heart and your mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says this, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's God's will that you be joyful and that you be prayerful, and that you be thankful. In Nehemiah, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isaiah wrote, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In Romans, we're taught this, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In Galatians, we learn that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Joy is a gift of the Spirit. We don't want to confuse joy with happiness. Two different things. Happiness comes from having your wishes fulfilled. Joy comes from being in tune with the will of God. Happiness fades away when your circumstances change. But joy is an everlasting gift of the Holy Spirit. It's God's will for you that you always have joy. Philippians 4:6, it says this, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." Can you memorize that? Don't worry about. Pray about. You guys are quick. Don't what? Don't worry about anything. Instead. Oh, yeah. See, that's a replacement, isn't it? We can worry and worry and worry. I like that commercial about the dog and his bone. Worry, 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 worry. He just worried, worried all the time about something's going to happen to his bone. You haven't seen the commercial, obviously, by the blank look on your face. God says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. Instead, take that worry and replace it with something positive. Replace it with prayer. Go to God who can do something about it. Colossians, it says this, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves. Say, this is the way I'm going to spend my time, not worrying about things. I'm going to spend my time praying about things. Right? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Peter said, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Be clear-minded, self-controlled so that you can pray. I want you to listen to this carefully. God doesn't expect or want you to be self-sufficient. That's not the will of God for you. That you be self-sufficient. He wants you to trust and depend on Him, His grace, His provision, and His faithfulness. He wants to be your rock. He wants to be your refuge. He wants to be your Father, the one you come to first in times of trouble. In fact, He wants you to talk to Him no matter what's going on in your life. It's His will that you pray about everything. Isn't that what it said? Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. So, that means when you got problems, take them to God. What about if you don't have problems? Hey, praise God, right? But God wants you to talk to Him. He wants to have an ongoing relationship with you no matter what's going on in your life. The passage I read to begin with said, pray continually. Live your life in an attitude of prayer. God is there. God is involved. All right? That's God's will for you. And be thankful. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. That's Psalm 106. Verse 47, give thanks to the Lord. A lot of times we think about being thankful or having an attitude of gratitude, those things we talk about around Thanksgiving time. But this says specifically where to direct those thanks, where to direct that gratitude. It says give thanks to the Lord. In Colossians it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. With gratitude in your hearts to God. This is to be your attitude when the sun is shining like it is today, or when the storm clouds come and hide its brightness. In all circumstances, you are to be thankful. That's not easy, is it? In all circumstances, you are to be thankful. Why? Well, the psalmist told us why. Because the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. When the storms come, you know what? God is there. When the storm breaks, God is still there. We need to be grateful that God is there. That's God's will for you. You take that passage in 1 Thessalonians and read it in the New Living Translation. And this is God's will for your state of mind. It says, always be joyful. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. You know, people, I hear people say, oh, I don't know what God's will is. I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, see, there's some simple things you can do. First of all, trust your destiny to God. We already talked about that, right? He has a plan. He's working it out in your life. He's already at it, right? He's already doing it. And so you need to trust that to Him. This says, live in an attitude of joy and prayerfulness and thankfulness toward God. We're going to see how important it is for us to know His Word and to walk according to His Word. You know, the Scripture gives us a real simple secret. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you know what happens when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Everything else falls into its right place. That's what the promise is. So the will of God for you is that you seek His kingdom and you seek His righteousness. And when you do that, one of the things that's going to happen is you're going to have joy that just doesn't go away, that can't be shaken by any kind of circumstances or anybody. No matter who wins the Super Bowl, you can have joy. If the roof collapses and they don't play the Super Bowl, you could still have joy. Maybe more. I don't know. Depends who you are. But this is God's plan for you. Now, I'm going to move on to the third point here, which is about your ministry. There's one thing I say about people is that God saved you on purpose for a purpose. You're saved on purpose. God did it because He wanted to. But He had a purpose in doing it. And ministry is that purpose. There are five epistles of Paul that begin with his declaration that he is an apostle by the will of God. He was ministering to the Corinthians and the Ephesians and to the believers in Colossae and a bunch of others. Not because he volunteered, not because it seemed like a good idea to him, not because he needed a job. He was doing ministry because God called him, first of all, and sent him to do it. He was an apostle by the will of God, because of the will of God. That shouldn't be any surprise. The clear call of Jesus to His disciples, and by that I mean all believers, is to go and make disciples. You've heard that before? We call that the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Well, how do you do that? Pastor, I don't know how to make disciples. Well, here's how you make disciples. This is real simple. This is not rocket science here. Here's some things. Number one, live your faith. Live your faith. You get to the point with Christ where your relationship with Him is your motivation and your power. You live your faith. You don't walk by sight. You believe the promises of God and you walk according to them. You live according to them. And then you show your faith. Once you learn to do that, you live out loud. You praise your God in public. Can you imagine? You give God credit for what He's doing in your life. You show your faith. Jesus said, you can take a candle and you can light it and put it under a bushel, but it doesn't do anybody any good. Right? You need to take that candle and set it on a stand, and it'll light your way and everybody else's. Right? He said, let your light shine before men so that they can see your works, your good works, and praise your Father who is in heaven. Right? That's what I'm talking about when I say show your faith. And then teach your faith. Teach your faith. Be a discipler. I wrote down here, be the grow light. You know, if you're teaching your faith, what you're doing is sharing what you've learned about God, what your experience with God is, with others. There's somebody that's coming along behind you. And they can benefit from your experience. They can learn by your experience. When Jesus told his disciples, his first disciples, to go and make disciples, what had they been doing? They'd been following along behind him. Because he lived his faith, he showed his faith, and he taught his faith. They learned from him. There are those that need to learn from you. So you need to teach your faith in order to be a discipler. And then you need to welcome the faithful. Welcome the faithful. Rejoice to see Christ's kingdom grow. And joyfully make room for the new believers, for the new disciples. You want to get serious about it. Last week I mentioned Jesus' parable about the wheat and the weeds. You remember that? So, are you wheat or are you weed? Thinking about it, you're mulling it over in your head, am I wheat or am I a weed? Well, if you're wheat, then you have to know it's because God made you wheat. On purpose, for a purpose. It's God's will that you be wheat. And if you're wheat, then you need to make it your life's purpose to be fruitful. Isn't that what it's all about? This is a different parable, but let me read to you from Matthew 13. The one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Did you ever think about the fact that the fruit wheat produces is more seed? The fruit that you are producing is more seed. Seed is the Word of God, right? The seed was sown initially, the Word of God, the Gospel was sown initially so that you could live and grow. So that you could be born again, so you could be brought into the kingdom, and you could grow, be discipled. And you are living and growing so that you can produce more seed. And that seed is to be sown so that others can live and grow. Grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of Christ. It's God's will that you be disciples and that you be disciple makers. That's God's will for you. Now I'm going to go back over it again just to kind of recap. But if you're wondering about what God's will is for you in your life, these are the things you need to consider. And most of you were nodding your head when I said, do you want to know God? Do you want to know God's word? Do you feel God's presence when you pray? Do you feel God's presence in your life all the time? Yeah. Well, then God's got a purpose for you. And being saved and being safe, that's the first step. That's the first thing. And I can tell you that God wants you to be comfortable with that. You know, there are a lot of people that never can get past that, because they don't really believe that it's God's doing. They think they've got to help God out a little bit. And so they're always worried that somehow or other their relationship with God's going to break down or they're going to somehow fall away. I can tell you, Christ did everything that needed to be done for you. You can't add one thing to what Christ did. And if you have that desire to know God, it's because He put it in your mind and in your heart. You were dead and He made you alive so that you could hear His word and you could respond. And He gave you the faith to respond. See, God's the one who did that because He wanted you saved. God isn't going to fail. You don't have to worry about God changing His mind or suddenly forgetting how to save people. So it's God's will that you be saved and you be safe, and you need to be comfortable in your salvation, knowing that Christ said it's finished and He meant it. The debt's paid in full. So you can come before the throne of grace in confidence because of what Christ has already done. And then God wants you to be a blessed person. That does have something to do with happiness. And the way that you're blessed in God is by hearing His Word and putting it to practice. This morning you're hearing His Word. You need to put it to practice. You need to believe what I'm telling you. You need to act on it. All right? You need to learn how to live out loud. You need to learn how to show your faith. Right? You need to be willing to take the time to teach other people. All right? You need to take those things and put them to practice. And then you'll find a richness in your life that wasn't there before, because God's blessing will be on your life. It isn't necessarily going to be material things, but it wouldn't be bad to have joy all the time, would it? That'd be kind of a nice thing. And that's the next thing. It's God's will that you be joyful. God doesn't want you to be in mourning all the time. You know, the passage where it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength," that comes from a time when the people of God hadn't heard God's word for a long time. And they were able to hear the word. They were gathered together again as the people of God, and they were hearing the Word of God proclaimed, and they realized, wow, we didn't know this. We weren't hearing this. We weren't putting this to practice in our lives. And so the people were sorrowful. They were weeping and grieving over their situation. And it was Nehemiah who said to them, "Hey, this is good. This is a good thing. You need to rejoice. Don't you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength?" And that's what it's about. That's what it means. God wants you to be joyful. He wants you to live in that joy. And He wants you to be prayerful. You know, that's simply saying God wants you to live your life in His presence. He's there. He knows what's going on in your life, but He wants you to talk to Him. Some people say, "Well, I don't know how to pray." Do you know how to talk to your friends? Do you know how to talk to your family? Then you know how to talk to God. Do it the same way. There's no magic words. God just wants to hear from you. And if you're in trouble, let Him know. Things are going good, let Him know. Give Him credit. And be thankful. Be grateful for what God has done for you. And then it's God's will that you be a disciple, that you learn and grow in Him in knowledge of His Word and in knowledge of His ways. And it's also His will that you be a discipler. That's, by the way, how you know you're through discipling someone else. When they become able to become a discipler, you're done with them. You can move on to the next person. But you know, most discipleship is done one-on-one. One person sharing their life with another. Doesn't happen in here. Doesn't usually happen in a class. You can't take a class on be a disciple. Could, I guess. But the best way is to just live your life with someone who's not as old in the faith as you, and you bring them along. You need to disciple your children. That's God's will for you. Seek Him first, seek Him last. Live your life in His presence. Be grateful. Be thankful. Be joyful. Can you do that? All right. Let's pray. Father God, the only appropriate prayer is not my will, but your will be done in my life. I pray that prayer for myself, but I also pray that for all those who are gathered here. God, I just pray that you would transform our thoughts until they conform to your word. And I pray that you'd transform our works until they conform to your purpose. Lord, make us the people that you desire us to be so that we can do your will. It's not simple, Lord. We just need to put things in the right place. And Lord, the first priority is you, to seek you, to seek your kingdom, to seek your righteousness. Lord, you provided all these things for us. We just need to believe and receive. So Lord, enable us to do that. Help us to do that today. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who hasn't even taken that first step and trusted you for salvation, Lord, that they would do that today. That they would just say to you, Father, I know I can't save myself. Lord, I just give myself to you. I just trust that what Christ did for me is sufficient, that I don't need to add anything to it, that all I have to do is receive what you've already provided. Lord, help each one of us in everything that we do to put our trust in you. Not in self, but in you. Because we're not self-sufficient. Lord, we need your help. We need your guidance. We need your strength. We need your wisdom. All those things that you provide for us. Lord, we need those things. And we acknowledge that. Lord, in this week ahead, I pray, Lord, that you would go before each one and, Lord, give us opportunities to live out our faith in public, Lord, to share truth with others, and Lord, to even grow up a little bit more ourselves. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.